Start recording.
Any music?
Right, well,
So I can't hear any music, so
oh, we had
oh, there
music.
we
I
are.
had music. I had music. It's a very well, it's February. This is episode 53 of Malt Travail Podcast. We were hoping to do our New Year's resolutions in January, but as always, things got in the way. So anyway, good evening, gentlemen. It's a rather gloomy, dark February evening. What is it, the 7th of February today? Snowmageddon's coming tomorrow, apparently, for those living in the Midlands and the North. So we're all, I must admit, I've just sent the missus out to Marks and Spencer's to fill the larder in case we are stranded for 24 hours.
Believe it when I
But
say it.
I've still got lots of Christmas beers left, so I don't think I won't die of thirst. Slowly make some inroads into them. I think I've drank all my Guinness. I went to Tesco's on Saturday. Got the influence of rugby and Guinness. I mean, the Guinness was absolutely mullered in our Tesco's. It's just empty. There was
Crikey.
all there was BrewDog, that dark stuff you've been on about, Nick, and all the Guinness has been absolutely mullered. So it's funny, isn't it, how better advertising on the television. Anyway, so we've got a few catch-ups to do because, as we mentioned in our last episode, we've been out and about a little bit before Christmas. Unfortunately, we didn't all three of us get together, but we've done it in pairs. So we've got a few of those, and then a few of the catch-ups as well to kind of go through. And we did say we'd catch up on a little bit of beery news because, again, it's kind of into the oh, we're a month into the new year now, so we'll do some of that as well. So I must admit, I had some very good pints of Guinness actually in Manchester a couple of weeks ago when I went to one of the other Manchester Bears. We bars, not bears. We've mentioned Mulligan's previously episodes. I went to O'Shea's, having gone to see Mr. Peter Kay. But tell you,
Well,
gents,
Shays
that
is good. The breakfast looked awesome.
in the AO Arena, it was £18 for a 2 pint of Madry.
Oh my
£18.
God.
So the cheapest drink, I
That
think,
is
was 6 quid.
obscene.
A Bacardi Breeze, or whatever they called, or a Smirnoff, whatever, bottle was 6. I think a pint was £9 something. You save 45p if you bought a 2 pinter. But I say it was 18 quid. Anyway, let's kick off with some beer news. There is a man who claims in Kilkenny that over the New Year, New Year's Eve, he drank 81 pints of Guinness. And apparently that beat his record, which was previously of 78. And this was certainly all over the Irish press a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know who this guy's name was. He looks a fair youth. Apparently it's 186 units, which is 13 more in 2 days than he's supposed to have in a week. It cost him €400. And part of the evening, he was being encouraged to drink 100, but he didn't quite make it. So yes, 81 pints of Guinness is going some, isn't it, really? So that was my first little bit of
How the hell
news.
does he afford it?
Well, €400 is
Probably on
going some.
benefits.
I did notice in
Yeah,
that,
that's
I
right.
think in some of the thing that it was saying that I think it's 9.95 a euro, €9.95 in Temple Bar now for a pint of Guinness, which is again quite extortionate, isn't it? In other news,
That's.
Camra announced their pub of the year, and this year, well, I think it's for the second year running actually, the Tamworth Tap was awarded pub of the year. And more of that because
Does look really good, doesn't it?
me and Nick went to one of the other contenders, which is in lovely Yorkshire, which we'll pick up later on in the podcast. So the Tamworth Tap, yeah, looks nice, does it? Tamworth's not too far from me, actually. I think from there, Nick, we went to Lichfield, didn't we? Because we had a brewing day in Lichfield some time ago. So yeah, maybe I'll try and catch that. If you're in, and I know Nick goes down to Al Ras to the Arboretum, National Arboretum. That's not
National
far from
Arboretum.
Tamworth. Yeah, that's not far from Tamworth. I'll only pick this up. Despite all these pubs closing, Wetherspoons have just spent over £2 million on a new, well, not a new pub, but they've just opened a new venue actually right next to Euston Station. Apparently, this used to be a strip club that was on Channel 4. Remember, there's a very strange program about cat people. Cat was called now Cat or Flicks or something. And Captain Flinders, apparently, they found bits of Captain Flinders under Euston when they were doing the new reverberation. So it's a brand new pub. So again, if anybody's Euston bound, it's next to Euston. So a little bit like the Well, what's the one in King's Cross? You guys go.
Barrel vaults in St. Pancras.
Yeah. Well, but no, I'm about the
King's Cross. The parcel.
Which I know it's not Wetherspoons, but
that's a Fuller's. But next St. Pancras is next door to King's Cross, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And they've got
So that one in St. Pancras is crap. It's like it's rubbish.
There's a barrel faults in there. But once again, Bruce, you're paying a third less than what you're paying in other places 100 yards away. So,
but then the other one there is the Young's pub, isn't it, on the front of St. Pancras, which is much nicer, which is very nice. Mm. So that's that one. And again, sad news, really, in that because I think of some work going on, they have cancelled the Great British Beer Festival this year, which is normally Olympia. And apparently, because they're doing something Olympia, it's not available. So there were some suggestions that it should come north, because it hasn't been north since 1989. And in fact, Bruce, me and you went in 1989.
We did.
To the Queen's Hall.
But you've got that beer map somewhere.
Probably. The Queen's Hall, which is unfortunately no longer with us. I can vaguely remember it. It was quite a nice summer's day when we went, and I remember having a very nice sausage butty and some very nice beer. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting, but they haven't done it. So I don't know again whether it feels a bit like this. Quite a lot of beer festivals, and I'm kind of doing a kind of 2-year thing now out there rather than the yearly thing. I noticed that Peak Enders is again, they're not doing Peak Enders this year. I guess there's a lot of red tape these days, a lot of organisation, and
insurance competition.
Yeah. And then just another one, talking of Peak Enders, Titanic Brewery have done their first collaboration with Thornbridge. So apparently they are bringing out two beers. They're bringing out Carpathia, and then a bit later on in the year, they're going to bring out a Britannic. Now, again, I've got to say I failed miserably trying to get a pint of this. So I've set off last week to a couple of our local Titanic pubs. But they'd sold out, apparently. As soon as it had gone on, they'd got rid of it. So a bit of a nightmare. But actually, it did get me thinking, because Thornbridge are doing quite a bit of this, aren't they? And we've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast, in that they, I guess it's good marketing. It's getting your brand constantly out there linking to... I've just, again, for those on YouTube, I've just put a few up. So, I mean, this is what... I mean, there's not more than this, but in the last 6 or 7 months, they've done a collab with Budweiser, obviously from the Czech Republic. They've done one with, who else is on there? They've done Alrin, they've done Brewgooder, they've done, obviously, Timothy Taylor's, which was the first ever Timothy Taylor's collab, was the artisan, which we couldn't get hold of.
I got a pint.
It's interesting. It's interesting that they're doing this. Obviously, Thornbridge, I think I've got quite a good name, kind of craft beer wise, and of course, there's strong links to. There are links to BrewDog. There are links to Dave Wicks and the Fat Cat in Sheffield and Callum, isn't there? Because that's kind of where they all kind of kicked off. But it's interesting that it's and obviously they're very high profile. The brewery. Every time I go to Bakewell, the brewery's got bigger, so it's obviously doing something right. And I've got to say, in the main, the beers aren't too bad actually. The beers are quite nice. So I'm going to try again this weekend, see if I can get tracked down some. They did say there was another barrel in my local Titanic pub that they'd got in the cellar. So hopefully that will get us there as well.
I think I also got to try the Checkmates at the pub on there.
Yeah, I tried Checkmates. That wasn't too bad. Yeah. And then again, we talked last time a little bit about Cask. Again, not surprisingly, the other one, and we've had Dry January, is that the massive growth in zero beers, which again, we've talked a little bit about on the podcast, and the trends that, again, young people don't seem to be supping very much at the moment. Don't know what else they're doing, because they're not smoking either. So again, just some trends about what's going on in alcohol. And then
the vaping.
Spent a little bit of time on this one. Since our last podcast, it was announced that, and again, it's been an ongoing theme, hasn't it, about Carlsberg Marston closing a number of regional breweries. Something we talked about Jennings in some detail, didn't we? And Ringwood was the last one we were talking about. And they made an announcement. I think they tried to slip it out, but it went fairly major, in that the Burton Union system, which they still use to brew Marston's Pedigree, is being withdrawn. Apparently, they're going to keep two sets for the kind of museum, but they're no longer going to use this very unique way of brewing beer.
They closed the museum down.
Well, the Marston's, yeah. I guess the Marston's Brewery Museum. And they also let slip that actually for the last few years, they haven't actually been using it. They've been blending beer anyway. They've been using a more modern system to produce most of Pedigree and blending it, which we've talked about that because we said it doesn't taste anything like it. As always, it doesn't taste anything else. And the big thing about Pedigree is you don't get the Burton Snatch anymore, which is that sniff of sulfur, which came from the Burton water. So,
but
again,
you don't see it either. So they said it was economically not viable anymore. But if they're not producing the beer and sending it out there to sell, they can show low sales figures. Well, there's low sales figures on it because nobody can buy it anywhere. Ah, tell you, man.
Well, they claimed it was a cask market, but we've talked in the past few podcasts that the cask market is quite buoyant at the moment, isn't it? You've got Timothy Dalers expanding because the cask market is buoyant. You've got Thornbridge expanding. So yeah, I don't know. It feels like again just accountants and
money,
yeah, trying to cut costs, make it simplify the
dumping on
process.
The British brewing history.
Yeah.
History of brewing, just dumping on it.
There's been quite a lot of kickoff. There's been quite a lot of petitions as always. So again, we'll perhaps keep an eye on that and see how that goes. There is still actually in the museum, while it's kind of still hanging on, there is still, there's a wall of, which got an old set of the Burton system that you can see from the outside, but there we go. So.
Who are Carlsberg's biggest customers? Who are Carlsberg's biggest customers who are driving the prices down? Who are the biggest customers outside the supermarkets?
Well, they talk about lager, and they just want to, they view, it appears that they think lager is where the future of brewing is. And that's all they want to do is brew lager. But their customers, I guess, are all over, aren't they? And let's be honest, you know, in every pub, even most really little pubs you go into, the lager offer is shite, but it's still there, isn't it? There's always going to be four or five pumps of.
But wouldn't you say the sale of lager is going down? I mean, the sale of craft has gone up, so I would assume that would be lager drinkers moving on to craft. So
I don't know, Nick. I finished off my latest blog about when we were up in the Lakes Dales, and I was recalling that, you know, we were sat in the Kirby Lonsdale Brewery tap, fantastic place. We were sampling six different beers, weren't we? And a couple came and shared the table with us because it was so busy. Said they'd been in several times, they were on holiday, but all they were drinking was Madry. So they had gone to a brewery tap.
Madry is still
gone. Northern Madry. Yeah. I said to them, but you know, this brewery do their own lager, you know, and it's a very similar kind of continental style lager. Oh no, I could try it, but no. So you know, going into.
But I mean, the statistics that you know, young people aren't drinking as much. I mean, lager tend to be more a young person's drink. People, you know, start off on cider because it's sweet, and then migrate to lager because it ain't got much flavour to it.
I don't know. I think,
and then eventually, as you get a bit older.
If you go to any football game, if you've been to Peter Kay last week in the AO Arena, virtually everybody was drinking lager. So, I mean, there wasn't a great deal of choice, but...
Yeah, they want any beer that's right.
Yeah.
And it wants to get it cheaper to produce, more profit in it.
Right, let's catch up then. So, just before Christmas, you had a couple little runarounds. I think we picked up on Bruce's little trip to some West Yorkshire delights. And then you and I think Bruce, and later joined by Bruce's son, had a little venture out. I think you went to Leeds, you went to Harrogate, and you also called in Kirkstall Brewery, which I think was a new one for both of you.
Yeah, I was quite most impressed with Kirkstall Brewery. And of course, since we've been, North Brewing Co. in Leeds was going to go, but Kirkstall Brewery stepped in to save them. But you have to say, I mean, Kirkstall Brewery was fantastic. It was by far the best. Brewery tap I've ever been to. They've really tried to get a bit of history in there, but it was December. It was insanely quiet, and I really like the beers. But I mean, again, down the road they had the Cardigan Arms, and again, I mean, a huge pub. All credit to them for keeping that open. But again, next to nobody in it. And
but it was midweek, wasn't it, Bruce?
It was, I suppose. But you have to think these places. I mean, that's a big investment that Kirkstall Brewery have got there, isn't it? Having said that, I mean, to be fair, they're building thousands of new houses down the Kirkstall Road. I mean, Kirkstall Road, for those people that know, it's quite close to the city centre. It's one of the main roads out. There's still a lot of land to be developed. It looks like they're going to put loads of flats on so soon, of course, for this brew tap and the Cardigan Arms, which was fantastic. They're going to have thousands of new customers. But you have to say, economics of these smaller breweries, sadly, I think they're making it harder and harder to turn a
profit. Were we using the £10 Northern Rail tickets, Bruce, that day?
Possibly, yes, maybe. Yeah, I think we'd be out.
Because that's where the way that we went. We went via Harrogate, Knaresborough, and started off at Kirkstall. So got off at Burley Park, and then we worked our way back along Kirkstall Road. So we started off the brewery, got there for sort of midday, worked back down, went to the Cadogan Arms. But before we went to the Cadogan Arms, which is architecturally, it's one down, they reckon, from the is it the Philharmonic in Leeds? A Victorian gin palace. We stopped off at Dave's Pie and Ale.
That's coming.
All right. Well, just going back to Kirkstall Brewery, right? We were leaving and I spotted one of those grabbers that you see at the seaside. But instead of being full of teddy bears, it was actually full of beery products like free pints and t-shirts and stuff. So I had a, over 18s only, that one. I had a quick go on it, but it was like those at seaside. Didn't really win anything. It was a good start to the day.
Yeah, and looking at the beer, again, if you're on YouTube, there's the beer list in the middle of their tap list. So they had seven cask beers on, all their own. They've got their own collaboration there with Vocation. £4 a pint, £3.90 for a pint of Kirkstall bitter. Not bad. And then they had about another 12 or so keg beers on, again, some of their own. Interesting, some Sierra Nevadas. Although they were slightly more expensive, £8 a pint, but that's 7% of their own lager and a cherry beer as well. So very, very nice. So yeah, Dave's Pie and Pies and Ales. It's like Bruce's Nirvana, this does. So again, it looked like a nice range of beers on. Unfortunately, it looks like they only had one pie on though. Chili, full stop today.
And not the normal pot pies came. He not all to the bar and took that picture. He did update him, didn't he?
It was just checking him out the oven because once again, we walked past there and it was supposed to be open at 12. Yeah. And there was a sign, just handwritten sign on the door saying open at 1 o'clock today. So we were from disappointment to all right, that's when we were walking down to the Kirkstall Brewery. And this place is about 10 minutes back up the road. So worked for us ideal, really. Went to Kirkstall Brewery, got our first beer in because it was lunchtime, and then a nice pie and peas, it just put a little line on the stomach. So, yeah, we were the first in there, I think, Bruce, weren't we? The guy in there.
Nice fella, nice.
Just three beers. Yeah, just three beers on the bar. He says Morehouses is very popular in there.
Mm.
But I'd seen this spot the last time I went solo on my own. Once again, it wasn't open, so I'd gone in that day. So I thought, well, this would be a good place to stop off and try. And it was, Bruce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I need to ask, what's a big lad for £9 on the food menu? Did you ask what the big lad was? It's a big pie.
Yeah, we did. I think it was ordering before the day before, he said.
Okay, big lad. Very good. And that's in Kirkstall, is it? I presume that's still in Kirkstall, Dave's Pies and Ale.
Yeah.
Like a
Kirkstall Road, yeah.
And then you moved on to Harrogate, I think, here. So you've got a number of they get more and more blurred, I think, these photos, so you can tell what you're kind of on with. So you've got the Gardener's Arms here, you've got Hale's Bar, you've got Metcalf's Black Sheep Collab as well. So yeah, so you got jump back on the train, I guess. And this was on the way back, was it, or way out?
Back on the train at Burley Park. So we jumped off Harrogate. First place was Harrogate Little Ale House, which is on Cheltenham Crescent. Once again, one that I found on my last solo little trip round, honed by a husband and wife. And once again, cracking place. Now, it was a little bit later on in the day, Bruce, but that spot was nicely full, wasn't it?
It was.
Quite a lot of retired people. And that's where we hung around waiting for Ben to arrive, which is Bruce's son. So I think we had a couple in there, Bruce. And then you recommended we jump on the bus and go up to Bilton. So you can talk about that one.
Yeah, it's Cricket's Arms at Bilton. If you're at Harrogate, you get the bus down, jump off at Stanford Drive. Well, the mean bus driver drops at the top of Stanford Drive before we're looking for the pub. I think he was laughing. It was a freezing cold. I said, the full length of an extremely long Stanford Drive. Then, though, you get to the Gardener's Arms at Bilton, which is a fantastic pub, like Nick said. It's a bit like almost the Nellies in miniature. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4 real fires in there, smaller rooms, stone flag floors, really quite impressive in serving hatches. Summer, a fantastic garden, but again, on a dark night, very, very atmospheric.
This is Sam Smith's pub.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant. Oh yeah, called Sam Smith's pub. So that's why.
I think it's in Camera's Heritage Pub Guide. So it was another one that I was able to tick off because yeah, I'd never been in there before. And it's once you know where you're going, it's not a bad ride out. So it's worth maybe 10 minutes, quarter an hour on the bus out and then back again. In fact, we got an Uber on the way back in. So there's two or three of you. It's just as cheap, certainly quicker to get an Uber back into the centre of town. And then, like you say, we just stopped off in Hillsbar and then back on the train again, back heading towards Knaresborough, which is a short hop. I've said it before. I mean, Knaresborough itself, you could have quite a decent crawl around Knaresborough. But by then it was sort of, what time was it, Bruce? Maybe half 7, 8 o'clock, midweek again. And yeah, I mean, One-Eyed Jack's, it was busy in One-Eyed Jack's, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I was thriving in there, isn't it?
You went and got your fish and chips from Drake's, is it?
Delicious they were too. Why did you have fish and chips?
Well, I'd had a belly full of beer, bro. So last thing I want to do is put in a big fat fish
and a big
Jack, so he's absolutely thriving at the place, and the beers are absolutely spot on, aren't they?
That was a new one on the station doing. How's that new, the carriage place on the station doing?
It's doing really well. The trouble is, it's in a town that's absolutely full of cracking boozers, and yeah, I think it's not as busy as it should be, because when you get to Knaresborough, you're kind of keen to go explore the pubs. Then when you come back, you've kind of had enough, haven't you? And they deserve to succeed, but sadly, they are.
As you wait for it,
because it was midweek. I don't think by the time we got back to the station, I don't think it was open, was it, Bruce?
Yeah.
I think they have shortened hours. But I mean, once again, if people start to realise, even folks in Leeds, to do a little beer, rather than the West Yorkshire beer trail, they can actually go out that way, out of Leeds. They can do Headingley, they can do Horsforth, they can Knaresborough, they can do Harrogate. Then even, like you say, just literally jumping off the train and having one or two there and back again, because you've got the Mighty directly behind the station as well. So, I mean, you can do two pints of real ale within 25 yards of each other.
Yeah.
I believe the Mitre's closed down, actually. And of course, there's now three closed Sam Smith's pubs in Knaresborough, which is shocking. The commercial fantastic pub, the other two are closed. But I believe the Mitre's closed. But the Half Moon in Knaresborough,
we know why the Sam Smith's pubs are closed, not because there isn't enough demand for them. It's just because nobody wants to work for Humphrey, unfortunately, anymore.
Now, the podcast bingo's gone quite well. So we're 20 minutes in and we've already ticked off Wetherspoons. And now we've also ticked off Sam Smith's and hot off the press, some exciting news. My membership of the Brewing Heritage Society means that we have an opportunity in June, potentially, to go and look around Mr. Humphrey's brewery.
So
they've managed to organise a visit to the brewery. So I'm going to push my luck and ask for three tickets, Nicholas. So I think something like the 28th of June, I think it is, a Wednesday. So I will push my luck. They've got the... annual AGM the month before, which is at Massam. And again, they've got trips around both breweries there. And I did share with Bruce, they've got a stunning week in Belgium. Unfortunately, you have to pay your own way, but they're going to Duval, they're going to all the great Belgian breweries. So it's a really interesting thing. In fact, last year they were mainly southern breweries, but they all seem to be northern breweries this year. So, and again, very valid, I think 15 quid a year, very worth.
I'm going to join that. Joining.
It's good. Okay, so that was Nick and Bruce's little adventure pre-Christmas.
Well, just on camera are doing a £4 off guest membership at the moment. So for family and friends, if you know anybody out there who has dabbled thinking about becoming a member of Camera, I was just checking their site today and they're offering a £4 gift membership off. So it's worth having.
Very good. So I think we mentioned in the last podcast that in between Christmas and New Year, Nicholas and I, the family, we set ourselves up to the little corner of where the Dales meets the Lakes. So just kind of Ingleton, Kirby Lonsdale way. And we found a very nice little place, just a little bit on its own, but with a cracking view. And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see that was the view from the little patio at the back of the barn. And that is the Ribblehead Viaduct. And at the right hand of that picture, there is a pub, the station inn. But we'll perhaps come back to that in a minute. But I think, Nick, the find of our little, I think you've been there a few times before, but the find for me was Kirby Lonsdale, which is a little market town that you tend probably to fly past if you're going to the Dales from the M6, or you're going to the Lakes from kind of central and northern North Yorkshire. It's obviously the main road kind of just skirts it around, I think probably helps a little bit. But a cracking little place with some very, very fine pubs. And to be quite honest, we couldn't really do it justice because, you know, although we were there for five or so days, we only managed to get in a couple of these pubs. But a real collection of solid Cumbrian, because we're just in Cumbria this bit, but with a bit of Lancashire and a bit of Yorkshire. Some old-fashionedy ones, some more modern ones. So number nine, that's a tapas bar that serves cask beer. Some Robbo's, surprisingly. So the Red Dragon is a very solid Robinson's pubs. A very fine sausage purveyor, Bruce Dales, who were artisan butchers, which is, that Dales is nestled within, well, there's a pub one side of it, and across the road there's two more pubs. So it's your kind of place.
Absolutely.
So cracking little place. Our pick of the little village is, first of all, the Orange Tree, which is quite a posh name, really, for what is a very down-to-earth, a very welcoming Cumbrian pub. This is where, actually, the brewery was, the Le Cable Lonsdale Brewery actually began. The landlord looks like a bit of a large-and-life character. He's called, I've written it down somewhere. He was a plumber, so I think he's called some like Spanner or something like that. He's called, but he set the brewery up. It's a big rugby.
Or
nut,
drippy,
so,
or leaky, or
yeah. And so there's rugby stuff all over the. There's all over the place, and apparently Orange Tree is one of the pubs near Twickenham, which was his favourite watering hole. So it's very much kind of local rugby club tap here. But again, we were in there on a fairly early on in the afternoon, but very welcoming. Fantastic array of beers on. I'm there. I'm on the Ruskin there, which was very nice. Cable Lonsdale Ruskin. So definitely worth, slightly a little bit out of the town through the very nice churchyard. I'm actually near where the Ruskin view is.
If you go in there, that's it. Make a note of the carpet. Now, the couple that Michael mentioned a bit earlier on about when we met them in the brewery, and they'd found this pub. And I said, what do you think of the carpet? And the woman said, what do you mean the carpet? I said, well, it's got a unique, stunning carpet, you know, of Wetherspoons mould. This carpet was obviously made specially for the pub because it's got the oranges on, it's got pints of ale, and it's also got the Kirby Lonsdale Brewery logo. So anybody on YouTube, you can see a picture of it there. Yeah, and it's quite a cracking carpet. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She didn't even notice it. So she said, oh, I'll have a look when we're going there tonight. So have a look at the carpet. Cracking carpet. I'd love to have that carpet in my own little pub.
And despite being out slightly out of the town, it was looked like they were gearing up for a pretty full lunchtime. I think we were there Sunday. I mean, they were just starting to reserve all those tables that you can see again if you're on the YouTube thing there. Yeah, cracking.
Through the back, they've got some like little booths which were quite. Yeah. I don't know whether they've always been in the pub or whether they've been added, but very very much like once again like Victorian eating booths. You know, quieter sort of more private area for people to get in there. So I think they were very popular people getting in there, and I'm something to eat. So I went for a quick nosy round, but I think landlord and landlady were sat down with chef working out the menu. So I didn't get to look all the way around, but it's you have to know where it is because it's not in the town centre as such. It's only a 5-minute walk from the town centre, but you've got to go around where the church is, and then it's up a road that would be taking you one way out the village. So it's worth just checking out on a map where it is, but then from there you're literally 5 minutes back at the town centre or the village town. I don't know what it is, Mike. Big village, and small town, I would say.
And then the other key find was, of course, the brewery tap. So the brewery's now moved to a industrial unit slightly out of the town, but fairly recently they bought what was a barn, an old barn in the middle of town. It's next to the Royal Hotel, so I think it's called, again, it gets a bit confusing. It's called the Brewery Tap. It's also called the Royal Barn, I think, as well. And inside, again, very intriguing building. Again, I've said on the photo there, don't be swayed by the empty streets. This place is absolutely rammed. We managed to get away. In fact, we couldn't get a table when we first went in. We managed to get a table. Typical kind of barn conversion, really, fairly rough and ready. As you can see from the photos, it's all fairly industrial. Lots of pallets and things. They also do coffee. So there's at one end, there's a whole coffee grinding setup. And there's this very small mezzanine floor as you come in through the front door. And again, some actually really interesting the way that they were selling their beers, really. They They, you know, they're good smart, really. You could try, six, 12, or 18 beers, couldn't you? I think they had 18 beers on, and they had different kind of tasting levels. And it's really good value, Nick. I think it was like £6, wasn't it, for six halves that we tried. And they have special palates there. And the beers were good. Yeah, interesting beers. Good range, stouts, more lighter beers, more traditional kind of bitter beers. Really, really nice. Prices were pretty good. Absolutely ram full of dogs and people. And again, interesting urinals when you drank all that beer. We won't go down the Nicholas one, but definitely Kirby Lonsdale, definitely worth a visit. And again, if you can, certainly the orange tree, and the brewery tap. There's a car park next to brewery tap, so it's great there, just down from Booth Supermarket. So well worth a visit.
Well, that's my previous experiences of Kirby Lonsdale, really, is just stopping off at the Booths. Because you say, the main road that you wind around with is that nasty, you go over the river, the nasty speed camera, and then you climb the hill and there's a little mini roundabout. You turn right to Booths, but you can actually then park in Booths and walk into the, once again, the village within 5 minutes, and you actually pass by where that brewery tap is. So, if you're going through Kirby Lonsdale lunchtime, it's worth just stopping off at Booths. Booze, not as good an offer they used to have in bottled beers. I mean, me and Bruce used to go on about it, you know, what grand, fantastic range they used to have and how cheap they were. Still got a good range, not quite as good value as they used to be. But certainly, it's worth just stopping off and, just bobbing to the brewery.
Now, we need some proper time in proper Yorkshire. So we work far from Skipton, and Skipton never really fails to kind of please. So despite, I think we went on the 2nd of January, it was a very, very wet day. But again, managed to tick off two elusive bars, actually, that we've talked about, but certainly we've never been in. So they've got very posh Spoons in Skipton, so we had to start in Spoons. And I also had some vouchers in my pocket that were burning a hole in my pocket. I've got to say, actually, the beer in there was really good. Normally is, actually. So that's the Devonshire, which was a former Tetley's house. There is a micro bar virtually next door to the Wetherspoons, but it's never open when we were there. We did wonder whether it was closed, but we did find it was open. But we did manage to take off the Ref and Whistle, which is not very far from the Spoons. That's across the road and up a little alley. I've passed it a few times previously, but never managed to get in. So we managed to get in there, and we were the only customers, I've got to say. Had a very interesting chat with the young chap who was in there. He's actually the owner's son. Looking a little bit worse for wear. Apparently done New Year's Eve. Didn't drink beer himself. So apparently been drinking Bailey's and Jameson's whiskey cocktails all of New Year's Eve. And 2 days later, was still struggling slightly from a hangover. But he was good. He had a good chat with us. Again, Morehouses is their staple. They had four different beers on. We tried all four. They were all very, very nice. And I think big Leeds pub, he said. So they do most of their business when the games are on. A big screen upstairs as well. So definitely worth popping in the Ref and Whistle. But the other one to tick off was the Beer Engine, which again, if you read anything about beer in Skipton, you'll hear about the Beer Engine. And as mentioned previously, it was Yorkshire Pub of the Year and actually was shortlisted as one of the top four pubs in the UK, but obviously got tapped by the Tamworth Tap. So again, interesting pub, Nick, wasn't it? Different, really. It's not a pub. It's, I don't know what it was, probably a shop or something. It's quite a small bar as you go in, little kind of snug area, little bar. But then they've managed to buy the unit next door as well, and that's kind of where Nick sat there. We were sat in kind of in the transition bit. You can just see, again, if you know, skipping the narrow boat through the back window there. Again, if you're on YouTube, if you look over Nick's shoulder, that window there, that's where the narrow boat is, which again is another cracking venue. But again, it was very nice. Good prices, good beer, a good range on, despite it being the 2nd of January. So again, somewhere we'd definitely go back. Well,
we literally had quarter of an hour in there because we'd arranged to meet the females in the party back at the car park. We'd actually parked in Morrison's. And so literally by the time we got there, we raced in, bloke behind the bar said, yeah, what can I do, you lads? I said, we've literally got quarter of an hour. He went, oh, right, okay. I said, what do you recommend? So I think had a dark one. Michael had you had an IPA, I think. And it wasn't busy. It's another one to tick off.
And then last but not least, the pub at the end of the viaduct. So at the end of the Ribblehead Viaduct, so this is almost the opposite side from where we were staying, is the Station Inn. And again, it gets a fairly good write-up. It's a really interesting place if you want to find out about the viaduct. I think it was built at the time when they were building it for the guys, the navvies that were building it. Lots of information. I was a little bit disappointed. Unfortunately, the beers that I think they'd had a very busy New Year's period, so the beer choice wasn't brilliant. But despite that, it's in a stunning place. You can just about see again if you're on YouTube. The seat that's on the left-hand side of the bar there looks over that viaduct. So you need to get that seat if you get there early, although you will have people drooling over you, ready to pounce when you move. They're doing quite a big run of food.
If you go for a pee, you also get a stunning view of their viaducts from the window,
there you
don't
go.
You're
right, and they do a lot of camper vans. The car park was pretty much full of camper vans whenever we were there, so they do a little bit of a £5 a night for camper vans, which is great because it must be quite nice waking up to that view. So all in all, a very nice little trip. And if you want to read about that, my blog's going out today. So again, if you want to have a quick look at pe.co.uk blogspot, I've written all that up into a bit more of that. So we're on our short time again, guys. So that's been a very quick blast through our kind of new year. What are the plans for this next weekend? It's rugby again. I think I might be out and about for rugby.
I'm going to Newcastle on Saturday. So I should be the Crown Posada and probably put Tynemouth.
And I'm taking advantage of the Transparent Express £1 rail tickets that they did a few weeks back. So I'm going to go to Moulton to Leeds, catch the Northern Rail Leeds to Skipton. And then me and Jackie are going to do that walk that me and you did, Michael, on on the old Roman Road.
Back to Wilkley.
So Skipton, back to Wilkley. So I might get a quick one in Skipton, couple in Ilkley, and then jump back on the train back to Leeds. So
you might need your
the
ice
day's
axe.
Costing us about 12. No, yeah, it's there's not supposed to be any snow if it ever comes anywhere. So I think it's costing us £12 return, literally from Moulton to Skipton.
Very good.
If I'm going to Wetherspoons, it'll be cheap beer as well.
So we will catch up on that hopefully in a couple of weeks' time or so.